Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, mentally.
Art heists are often the stuff of legend. You may recall, in the year 2000, there was the infamous theft in Stockholm, straight out of a Hollywood action film, with diversionary explosions going on in the city, spikes scattered on the road to slow the police pursuit, masked robbers with machine guns. They stole two Renoirs and a Rembrandt that together were worth about $30 million or more. And after they secured the paintings, they leapt into a speedboat to make their getaway. Two of those paintings have never been recovered. And, of course,
they're
there
on
was
eBay this morning, though.
No, I don't think so. No. There are, of course, the spectacular theft of The Scream. The 2004 raid that you may recall was actually the second time that Edvard Munch's iconic canvas had been stolen. The first time, the robbers left a note that said, "Thanks for the poor security." But the most famous theft of all time, the most historic, was actually carried out very quietly and very subtly when Vincenzo Perugia took the Mona Lisa off the wall at the Louvre, took it out of its frame, slipped it underneath his smock, and walked away with it. Joe Medeiros joins us now. He directed a documentary about that theft called The Missing Piece, and it tells the story of how the Mona Lisa was stolen. And the Mona Lisa was stolen 100 years ago this week. That was 100 years ago. We still talk about it, Joe.
That's right. Thanks for having me here. It's always a pleasure to speak about my favorite subject. It's something that I've been interested in for 35 years now.
The theft of the Mona Lisa or just art theft?
Well, the theft of the Mona Lisa and then subsequently art theft because, you know, when you learn, you know, how much art is stolen and has always been stolen, as long as people have been making art, I think there have been other people taking it. So, I found out about the theft of the Mona Lisa in 1976 when I was 25 years old. I opened up a book about Leonardo da Vinci, and I read the sentence that Mr. Perugia, an Italian workman, walked into the Louvre and took this painting and had it for 2.5 years.
You know, ostensibly, he wanted to return it to Italy. He said he was a nationalist.
That was his claim.
But he tried to sell it.
Well, yes.
I mean, in general, thieves go after stuff that's worth millions of dollars. You do know that, though, right?
That's the reason why they do it. I spoke in doing the film. I spoke to this wonderful author named Edward Dolnick, who wrote The Rescue Artist, which is about the recovery, Charlie Hill, the detective's recovery of the Munch's painting. And he said that to most art thieves, a piece of art is like a framed $1 million bill on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, they just think that they're going to take this and get, even if they get 10% on the dollar, they'll come out really, you know, ahead of the game. But it's not the case. It's easy to steal something. It's very hard to get rid of it.
Yeah, because it's a very trackable. Well, in case you may think mistakenly that art thefts are the things of the past. Just in the past month and a half, a $200,000 Picasso sketch was stolen from San Francisco. A $350,000 Le Jau was lifted from a New York gallery. 11 paintings valued at almost $400,000 stolen from a gallery in Toronto. And, of course, the big headline yesterday was that Rembrandt sketch that was stolen out of a church in California was finally returned. The FBI says art heists are on the rise. We're speaking with Joe Medeiros, who directed the documentary The Missing Piece. Why do you think that is, Joe?
Well, I think that it's easy. You know,
because security is so lax in museums?
Well, not, you know, museums these days. I mean, you have to walk through metal detectors. Yeah. You know, there's cameras everywhere. Museums are a little trickier. You know, they'll take advantage of a weakness. There was a robbery in Paris in May of 2010 of a museum because the security system had been down for a while. So obviously it was some sort of an inside job where they knew that, and they knew that they could take advantage of a weakness in the museum. But, you know, a lot of robberies, were taken, they take place in galleries. You know, the gentleman who walked in, about a month or so ago and just took a Picasso out of a gallery, and they finally caught him in his apartment, which was filled with other drawings and paintings.
Churches can be vulnerable, too, but museums have figured out the smock trick from the Mona Lisa 100 years ago.
Yeah, no more smocks.
Yes, well, there we go. I'd like to correct something. Now, this is one of the missions that I've had in my quest to do this documentary, that over the 100 years, there have been so many. It's like we're playing telephone with the story of Vincenzo Perugia, that there are some things that go into legend but aren't quite technically correct. Now, you said that he put it under
a smock.
He had a smock, but you said he put it under his smock. Now, technically, you can't do that. I demonstrate that in my film with my daughter Julie, who's 5'3", the same size as Perugia. You know, yeah, the Mona Lisa is 21x30, which is a small painting, but, you know, 21x30,
it's
you cannot
big.
Fit that under a smock. What you can do, though, is take your smock off, wrap it around the painting, and tuck it under your arm. So that's how I believe he got
Couldn't
out of the
museum. Couldn't he have rolled up the canvas and stuck it up his smock?
If it were a canvas.
That's true. That's very that's true. Right. Good point.
The Mona Lisa is painted on a piece of wood.
Piece of wood.
A panel of half-inch poplar wood.
True enough. We're speaking with Joe Medeiros. His documentary is called The Missing Piece, and it tells the story of the theft of the Mona Lisa 100 years ago this week. You know, you talked before about how difficult it is to actually fence these goods, to get rid of them. And that was true for Vincenzo Perugia. That's how he was caught in the end, was when he tried to sell it, right?
Yes, that's what I talked to Stefan Goffney, who's the head of the French Art Crimes Unit. And, you know, he told me that it's very difficult to catch these people unless you catch them in the act, or today with surveillance cameras. Usually you catch them when they try to get rid of it, because sometimes they'll sit on these paintings for years. We know that Isabella Stewart Gardner paintings, stolen from the Museum of Boston, have been gone since the early 90s.
But they're probably in some rich guy's
vault.
Basement kind
that,
of thing.
That, according to the experts that I've spoken
that's
with,
that's a myth, too.
That's a myth, too. Yeah. You know, there is no Dr. No or this mysterious collector who has these things in a cave. You know, a lot of these people are thugs and criminals who steal the art and then they use it as bargaining chips. They trade it for drugs.
Really?
They trade it for drugs.
You want to see my Picassos? Yeah. Come on over.
I was thinking more like a ransom. Will you get the Mona Lisa back if you pay us $350,000?
Well, you know, I think Perugia was looking for a reward from the Italian government because he thought that the painting belonged in Italy. He was wrong, because it belongs to France.
Last question for you. Joe Medeiros, director of the documentary The Missing Piece. If you were to steal one piece of art, what would it be?
What would it be?
Elgin marbles.
The ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
Nice.
That would be hard to fit under a smock. That would definitely be difficult to fit under a smock. Joe Medeiros, director of the documentary The Missing Piece, which talks about the theft of the Mona Lisa. In fact, the FBI says art thefts are on the rise in recent days. Joe, thank you so much.
If the Sistine Chapel comes up missing, your finger.
That's
dude.
Right. I'm the guy.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.